The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
We are back, ladies and gentlemen. Second hour of the National Intel Report. I am your host, John Stadtmiller, with you on this 27th day of November, 2018. Where did a year go? It's going to be 2019 pretty soon, folks. So are we having fun yet? Somebody has sped up the hands of time, and I always heard that, well, good times, you know, it just never lasts long enough. Are we having a good time? I don't think so. On the issue of economy, and I am just amazed. I am just simply amazed that nobody is asking the correct questions about the economy. They're all going along with it. Hey, economy's good. Unemployment's 3.7%. The employment rate, the unemployment rate in this country, folks, I don't believe ever in U.S. history was ever 3.7%. Now, again, just for the benefit of new listeners out there, and we do have new listeners all the time, so we like to bring them up to speed. The 2008 banking crisis, you know, the people that just sold and repackaged mortgages and resold them and repackaged and just sold that around the world, created the biggest ripoff ever by human beings on this planet. And nobody's been charged. Nobody has gone to jail. Nobody's gone to prison. They just, it's like it never happened. But the greatest coup of this whole operation was dumping the debt on the people of the respective countries, the ones that suffered. We just weren't the only ones here. And it was devastating. We have never recovered from the 2008 collapse. And all these fantasy figures that are out there, at one point in time, I thought, well, maybe they can see a way back to some sort of economic vitality. Well, fake it till you make it. Put on the smiley face. Keep dancing. You know, keep dancing. Even though the music stopped, keep dancing. We're here to entertain and perform. Look at us. The facts that are garnered, folks, says that's the antithesis of what's going on. And I'll give you an example. Now, I've been running stories on the website about General Motors. Well, America's twin economic generals are both in very deep trouble. General Electric was founded in 1892 and was once one of the most powerful corporations on the entire planet. But now it's drowning in so much debt that it may be forced into bankruptcy. General Motors was founded in 1908 and at one time the largest automaker that the world had ever seen. But it's closing a bunch of factories and laying off approximately 14,000 workers as it anticipates disappointing sales and a slowing economy. If the U.S. economy really was booming, both of these companies would be probably thriving. But as you'll soon here discover, both of them have been victimized by the exact same Ponzi scheme, and both firms are sending us a very clear signal that the U.S. economy is heading for troubled waters. Whenever you hear the word restructuring, that's always a sign that things are not going well for a company. And as it turns out, GM's restructuring is actually going to cost the firm $3.8 billion. General Motors said yesterday that it plans to effectively halt production at a number of plants in the U.S. and Canada next year and cut more than 14,000 jobs in a massive restructuring that will cost, as I stated, $3.8 billion. But of course, GM doesn't have, you know, $3.8 billion just laying around. So what they're actually going to have to borrow money in order to close these plants and lay off these workers. Now, needless to say, President Trump is not very happy with General Motors right now. Trump said he spoke Monday with GM CEO Mary Barra, and I told them, "You're playing around with the wrong person." He told reporters as he left the White House for a pair of political rallies in Mississippi that the United States has done a lot for General Motors, and they better get back to Ohio and soon. Now, there's no way that Mary Barra should have ever been made CEO of General Motors. Now the entire world is getting to see why. In addition, and here's more of the story, in addition to the elimination of about 6,000 factory jobs, GM will be cutting about 8,000 white-collar jobs. Now, you remember me a couple of weeks ago telling you that, yeah, they're, you know, they hedged this story. I pulled it out of the Detroit News, and it was like, oh, 4,000 or 5,000, you know, white-collar workers are given the advantage to take an early out or just face layoff in January. And it'd be no advantage for the worker to really take the buyout before they were forced to be laid off. But, you know, at the time they said, oh, maybe 4,000 or 5,000. Well, those numbers kept going up. What they didn't say, and here's the second part of the bad story, is that, yeah, they'll be closing 5 plants and laying off 10% of their total employees. Really? In addition to the product cuts or production cuts, GM said it will reduce its North American white-collar workforce by about 8,000. The deadline passed last week on a voluntary buyout for those workers, and GM spokesman Pat Morrissey told the Free Press that only 2,250 employees have asked to take the offer, meaning that as many as 5,750 workers could be cut if the company keeps on its announced total. Analysts told the Free Press to expect involuntary cuts in January. So why is GM doing this? After all, the U.S. economy is really booming, right? 3.7% unemployment, 4.5 million people gone back to work, the economic engine's firing up again, everything's rosy, right? No. After all, if the U.S. economy really is booming, that should mean increased sales for all the major automakers in the coming years, right? You would think. Unfortunately, the truth is that hard times are already here for the automakers. In fact, Bob Lutz told CNBC, "We've got a demand problem on cars." Former GM Vice President Bob Lutz said the automaker historically would have raised sales incentives to try to sell more cars before resorting to plant closures. Nowadays, GM looks at the hard reality, says, "We've got a demand problem on cars. What we're going to do about it? Where we have to shut some facilities and move production to truck plants," Lutz said on the CNBC's halftime report. So I think what we're seeing is fast-acting and reality-based oriented GM management. In other words, sales are not good, and so now it's time to shut these factories down. You know, of course, GM is not the only one that is shutting down facilities and laying off workers. If you doubt this, see the article entitled U.S. Job Losses Accelerate. Here are 10 companies that are acting to cut jobs or laying off workers. But if General Motors had been much wiser on their money, they would have had to initiate a restructuring so quickly. Now, over the past 4 years, General Motors has had a staggering $13.9 billion stock buyback. GM executives were able to prop up the stock price for a while, but at this point the stock is down about 10% from where it was 4 years ago. And the following comes from Wolf Richter. He said that during this four-year period in which GM blew, wasted, and annihilated nearly $14 billion on share buybacks, the price of its shares, including today's 5.5% surge, getting rid of workers is also good news for shares. But it still fell 10%. Now, these stock buybacks are a massive Ponzi scheme, and everybody that was involved in blowing such a giant mountain of cash at GM should be fired. You think? And now thousands of hardworking Americans are going to lose their jobs, but it didn't have to happen. General Electric has also been victimized by the exact same Ponzi scheme. And at this point, they're in a struggle for survival, which they're probably going to lose. On Monday, the stock slid another couple of percent. So far this year, it's down a total of 58%. Let me repeat that again. General Electric stock, as of this year, it has lost 58% of its value. Yeah, happy days are here again. Now, not a day passes lately without GE stock getting hit by some unexpected development, and today it was no exception. GE shares, which are down 58% year-to-date, dropped another 2% on Monday after sliding as much as 4.1% earlier in the session and approaching its financial crisis low of $6.66. Wow. Just love those numbers, don't you? 666. Following a research report by Gordon Haslett, analyst John Inch, which prompted fresh questions about the treatment of goodwill at GE Capital. And in the end, GE is probably heading for a total collapse. But if GE had not blown $40 billion on stock buybacks in recent years, they'd be in far better shape. This comes from MarketWatch. GE was one of the Wall Street's major share buyback operators in the years 2015 through 2017. It repurchased $40 billion of its shares at prices between $20 and $32. The share price is now $8.60, so the company has liquidated between $23 and $29 billion of its shareholders' money on this utterly futile activity alone. Now, since the highest net income recorded by the company during those years was $8.8 billion in 2016, with 2015 and 2017 recording a loss, it's managed to lose more of its share of repurchasing during those 3 years than it made in operations by a substantial margin. Even more important, GE has now left itself with minus $48 billion in the tangible net worth. At September 30th, with actual genuine tangible debt of close, you ready for it? Debt close to $100 billion. Now, as the new CEO, Larry Culp, told CNBC last Monday, we have no higher priority right now than bringing those leverage levels down. Leverage levels? Shades of 2008, folks? They over-leveraged in the real estate market. Thank you, investment banks. Thank you all. Once that little animal crawled out of its cage, it became a beast, took on Wall Street, and pretty much the organized financial world. Just a little item. Nothing to see here. Just move along. Combined, General Electric and General Motors have blown more than $53 billion on stock buybacks, and now both companies are in huge trouble. The executives that gutted the finances of both firms by engaging in these sorts of Ponzi tactics should all be fired and should never be hired by anybody else in the corporate world. For years, big corporations have been borrowing massive amounts of money to fund the reckless stock buybacks, and that has helped fuel an amazing bull market run. Phony, folks. It's all an illusion, an imminent front. But now the game is imploding, and it's unraveling on this massive Ponzi scheme. It's not going to be pretty. Now, Mike Snyder did this article, folks, and you know, Mike Snyder has been more right. Well, that's kind of, it's kind of a misnomer. He's been right most of the time. And when the time that he isn't right, it eventually comes true. So I depend on people's viewpoints of what's happening in the world based on what? Their track record. How trustworthy are they? By the way, the new head of the Fed, I shouldn't be laughing, but what else are you going to do? Cry? Jerome Powell. Yes, what a wonderful guy. He's not Bernanke and he's not Janet Yellen. By the way, didn't Bernanke and Yellen come quickly and go quickly? You know, we could literally watch Alan Greenspan inch closer to the grave. He was there so long as the chairman of the Federal Reserve. But now it's pretty much a revolving door. So Mr. Powell, he doesn't care if stocks crash. And investors are once again pinning their forecast on hope. Yeah, we had a hope and change with Mr. Obama. Yeah. As I explained to clients in August, the Powell Fed is revolutionary to the point that very few understand. Whereas former Fed chairs Bernanke and Yellen would have halted all rate hikes in the second stock correction, current Fed Chair Jerome Powell has made it clear that the only reason he would even consider slowing the pace of rate hikes is if the stocks enter a prolonged collapse that was so massive it damaged consumer spending. Huh? Consumer spending has been damaged. They're on life support. They're being propped up by a credit card that they have no idea how they're going to pay it off next year. But you know what? We're going to still make believe that happy times are here again. Yes. We're not talking about a 2 or 3 week correction. We're talking about something so massive that ordinary Americans take note and alter their spending behaviors. They've already done that. Think of a 3 or 6 month bear market in which stocks could lose 30% or more. That is a strong possibility. The old adage, folks, says, don't fight the Fed. You know, they used to tell us, don't fight City Hall. Remain powerless. They're really the rulers. And you know what? You shouldn't fight City Hall. And you know what I've always said. That if you've got a bunch of creeps in there not acting in your best interest and are a bunch of crooks and criminals, gather enough people together to literally pick up City Hall, move it off its foundation, and put it wherever you want to. Get as many hands on deck as you possibly can. You think we're powerless? No, we are not. So, we talk about impending crash. Now, a lot of people have hit me with this over the years that said that, John, you've been predicting a crash for a number of years. Well, fundamentally, I look at real money as being something other than this Ponzi money we've been given. You know, the receipts for the assets that have been stolen years ago. They call them dollar bills. That is simply a receipt for the debt. That's all that it represents. And I've had people over the years saying, John, you've been predicting this stuff. Well, left to its natural devices, folks. If there wouldn't have been initially the $700 billion, and Harley Schlanger mentioned it today, $700 billion TARP bailout that went directly to the banks and financial institutions to shore them up, to keep them stable, there was more to come, a whole lot more. Now, left to its own devices, these banks that are too big to fail, if there was not the austerity programs in Europe, and in here, the quantitative easing. I just love that term, quantitative easing, as if it's a vial with little measuring marks on it. And yeah, it was also scientifically whipped up. Yeah, sure it was. With all of this debt going right onto the American people's backs, that's where this ended up. And we're choking in this debt. Inflation is starting to go through the roof. The jobs are starting to disappear again. Where is the ray of hope here? And again, I'll take the opportunity to say, coming up on this break, that if we wanted to make America great again, and that's not a slogan on a red Trump hat, bring back a financial, stable monetary system. Not this fiat currency, interest-bearing, we got all your worth and we're going to borrow against your future and we have an interest in doing that. Servicing the debt, ladies and gentlemen, anymore means paying the interest on the principal that can never be paid back. Let me break, get my breath. We'll be back.
Thank you. Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Lord, take this badge off of me. I can't use it anymore. It's been too dark to see. Felt like knocking on heaven's door. Knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door. Knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door.
Been warning you a very long time about cashless society. Sweden is rapidly turning into a cashless society, which seems to be like the utopian dream of many government figures.
Yeah.
Wonder why. What possibly could go wrong from the government's point of view? Isn't it ideal that they could soon digitally control every single person in a country? Actually, quite a few things are going wrong, so much that even members of the government are expressing concern. I'll say it ain't so. Sweden is the most cashless society in the world, and the change is happening fast in the European country. No cash accepted are signs that are becoming increasingly common sight in shops and eateries across Sweden as payments go digital and mobile. Sweden is widely regarded as the most cashless society on the planet. Most of the country's bank branches have stopped handling cash. Many shops, museums, and restaurants now only accept plastic or mobile payments. Last year, the amount of cash in circulation in Sweden dropped to its lowest level since 1990 and is more than 40% below its 2007 peak. The decline in 2016 and 2017 were the biggest on record. An annual survey by Insight Intelligence released last month found that only 25% of the Swedes paid in cash at least once a week in 2017, down from 63% just 4 years ago. A full 36% never use cash or just pay it with once or twice a year. Cash is used so infrequently that the government of the country has demonstrated concern. And this isn't just in the big cities. A source in rural Sweden tells us that even in this remote area, the push to go cashless is omnipresent. Now, what could possibly go wrong? The folks in Sweden have so little use for cash that it's predicted many stores will no longer even accept it by 2025. When you hear figures like this, folks, just take it and you can have the numbers safely. I'm going to say 2020, which is only, what, a year and a few months away? The government is recalculating the societal costs of a cash-free future. The financial authorities who once embraced the trend are asking banks to keep peddling notes and coins until the government can figure out what it's going cash-free means for young and old customers. Yeah, they need time to consider it once they helped initiate it. The central bank, which predicts cash may fade from Sweden, is testing a digital currency, an e-krona, to keep firm control of the money supply. Now, lawmakers are exploring the fate of online payments and bank accounts if the electrical grid fails or servers are thwarted by power failures, hackers, or even, say, war. And the potential of this down-grid situation isn't the only problem. Other Swedes and immigrants who aren't really involved in a digital society could have great difficulty making transactions. Consumer groups say that the shift leaves many retirees, a third of all Swedes are 55 or older, as well as some immigrants and people with disabilities are at a disadvantage. They cannot easily gain access to electronic means for some goods and transactions and rely on banks and their customer service. Now, we all know some folks who eschew online banking and never use a debit card. Many of these people are senior citizens who aren't ready to learn a new technology. Yeah, let me inject something here. It's not so much that they are not ready to learn a new technology. It is they still have a memory. They still remember what cash is. And if you're old enough, you still remember when money, like in this country, was actually worth something. You know, say prior to 1964, when there was actually a silver content in our coins, which represented what? A real, true value of worth. But you see, folks, we want to get you away from this idea of even money. It's dirty, it's cumbersome, you got to protect it, it's in your pocket, it's in your wallet. I mean, thieves are out there that want to steal your money, and it's just not a way to conduct business in the 21st century. What in reality of what they're doing is erasing the memory of a tangible asset that's even called money. Now, the advantages to the government and its satellite corporations is, folks, once this is all in the iCloud, you know, the sandcastles built by the paranoids in midair and hope they last. No, they're not going to. But the whole point of this is to remove any semblance or remembrance of cash. The advantage to the government is simply this. If they claim that you owe a debt, say through the IRS, if they claim you haven't paid enough in Social Security or whatever the case may be, they're going to have all the data in which to make the correction on your digital account. Let that sink in for a minute. They're going to know everything about you. They already know what you spend it on. They're already tracking, tracing everything. But now they're going to take that one thing away which provided you with a little anonymity, at least for their eyes, by simply paying cash. Yes, what a utopian future. Orwellville.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Well, in the land of milk and honey, economy's doing so well. Hey, happy days are here again. Except, and Harley Schlanger mentioned it. The only thing we have left is corporate farms, folks. Corporate farms. Where the real survivability of any country is the ability to do for itself. And that's where the individual farmers came in. Now, we saw what happened back in the 70s. The government had all these grand plans, and yeah, we'll make available all kinds of loans for you. You can expand your farming. And the only thing that it really did was eventually drive these farmers into bankruptcies. Don't you remember the days that every other day you saw a farm auction, equipment, used equipment, some of it pretty damn new but well taken care of, was being sold on the auction blocks? Well, farm bankruptcies are on the rise in the upper Midwest, and according to a new report from the Federal Reserve, doubling from their recent lows in 2014, at least 84 farms filed for bankruptcy from June 2017 to June 2018 in Wisconsin, Minnesota, Montana, North and South Dakota, according to analysis from the Federal Reserve Bank of Minneapolis. Now, the report released earlier this month shows that over the same period of time, 2014, 32 farms filed for bankruptcy. and that's going from June to June. The numbers have increased steadily since then, with 46 bankruptcies reported in 2015, 60 bankruptcies reported in 2016, and 67 reported in 2017. In 2010, 70 bankruptcies were reported in 5 states, but that was following the financial collapse of 2008-2009 and a brutal recession. I still call it a depression that's still going on. Now, some experts fear the worst is yet to come amid falling commodity prices and the Trump administration's battle with China and other countries on trade. Now, let me stop right here. As I noted earlier in last hour, they came out with the stories in the media about the poor soybean farmers. You know, the ones that are growing the genetically modified crap still being consumed by Americans. And they are waking up rapidly. Have you noticed labels and store products, grocery store products? You'll see more non-GMO plastered all over the label. Well, it should be outlawed in this country, but yeah, let's not go against Monsanto. Or, I'm sorry, the Bayer Corporation that bought out Monsanto. And I don't know who the idiot was that engineered that sale. Because Monsanto is choking on lawsuits from the stuff, the poisons they have been making. Okay. All that being said, you know, when I first saw those stories about all these poor soybean farmers, and they went into excruciating detail and how they're storing in any available building and sheds, and I'm assuming even outhouses. I don't know. But they're being stored in mine shafts and mines, and there's just all these soybeans. Well, it was blamed on Trump and the embargo, the trade war that's going on with China. I got news for you here, folks. The Chinese aren't buying genetically modified anything. Neither is Russia. So then we see the story about, well, China's now buying from Russia. Well, guess what? What was left out of the story is Russia doesn't allow genetically modified frankenfoods on their markets in their own country. They don't grow them and they don't sell them. So who the hell is China going to go to with the capacity to supply what they need? It was naturally Russia. Hey, send us all the wheat and the soybeans and whatever you got, because we know it's not genetically modified. Now, some experts fear the worst is yet to come on falling commodity prices. Now, that's a double-edged sword. Commodity could be oil. What has happened? Have you noticed what's been happening at the gas pump, folks? Wow, you're able to fill up your tank for only $40 or $50 now instead of $75 or $100 before. Double plus good for us. But now we're going to have a full tank of gas with no place to go because we don't have any money anyhow. We don't have the disposable income anyhow. Because whatever is left out there is being sucked up by what? Inflation, which in reality is the devaluation of the currency that you're using. It costs more to buy the 8 ounces of whatever than it did last week or last year. It's not the product itself that represents more of a value, so they got to charge more. It's the value of the currency that you're using it to purchase the damn product in the first place. And a lot of people in this country, folks, are still mesmerized by, and they still buy the crap that's shoveled out by the mainstream media. They don't question it because they don't know even enough to formulate an intelligent question in their own minds. That is sad. That's worse than sad. So they talk about lows as being trends and have not yet seen its peak. They're calling it a peak when it's actually a trough. This is kind of this dystopian kind of 1984 double plus good think. But folks, I'm here to tell you, I have been running a technician that was at my house yesterday. Gave me a good talking to, and I just sat there and listened to him talk to me about the fiat system and fiat banking. And I just sat there and I just sat back smiled every once in a while to let the guy know I was still listening, but I already knew what he was going to say before his lips uttered the words. But the point is that he was uttering those words. More and more people are finally getting wise as to what economy, true representation of economy really is, what real money really is. Folks, you would not have all this crime and corruption, all of what you see going on right now, if we were rooted in an honest money system in this country. End of story. You would not be able to rack up the debt that they have racked up if we had an honest currency, because there'd be no borrowing against the future, because guess what? You couldn't do it. There's no credit extended, so to speak. And look what happened to the wonderful people out there. God, look what happened to people in the 70s when Trick Dick finally closed the gold window. We had MasterCard. That was the first one to hit the market, the consumer market. Isn't this wonderful? Buy tomorrow or buy today what you can't afford to pay for today, but you'll have it today and keep paying for it for a very long time. Why? Because there's interest attached. That's why. But people went into massive credit card debt, and they're still doing it. Some people don't really have a choice. They got to keep charging on a credit card because guess what? They don't have any cash. So I do really need this basket of food today, or I really do need to pay my rent today. So I'll just whip out that plastic. And that's how a lot of people are still surviving. The credit card debt has not gone away. Now it's a survival technique. Well, what other bit of good news can I impart on you today? Let me see here. Oh, George Soros. What a wonderful humanitarian kind of guy. Well, Soros is open society. is being driven out of Turkey amid probe into terrorism ties. 6 months after the Hungarian president Viktor Orban succeeded in driving his former mentor and current nemesis, George Soros, out of Hungary, the Hungarian-born billionaire financier and his Open Society Foundation that has financed an army of liberal NGOs across Europe and the U.S. has been driven out of yet another country. According to The Guardian, Soros' Open Society Foundation is formally withdrawing from Turkey after the founder of its Turkey organization was arrested and charged with supporting an opposition figure accused of trying to overthrow the government of the Turkish president, Erdogan. Mm-hmm. The organization announced its decision to withdraw from Turkey amid an interior ministry investigation seeking to uncover links between the organization and the protest at Gezi Park in Istanbul in 2013. One of its founders, the Turkish OS branch, Hakan Atene, was arrested along with 12 others 2 weeks ago and accused of supporting jailed Osman Kavala, an opposition activist accused of trying to overthrow the Hungarian government, with mass protest. Now, Kavala has been accused of supporting terrorism within Turkey, and the Open Society has been accused of supporting Kavala. Yeah, geez, oh, there's a surprise. Supporting Kavala. Now, back in May, OS closed its Budapest office and moved its operation to Berlin after the country passed a Stop Soros law aimed at making it more difficult for foreign non-governmental organizations to operate in the country. In a speech last week, Erdogan accused Soros of trying to sow instability and discord in Turkish society and the organization destabilizing protest. Now, one of its founders in Turkey, Hakan Atene, was among 13 people detained, as I said, 10 days ago. They were accused of supporting jailed right activist Osman Kavala in trying to overthrow the government through mass protest. In a speech last week, Erdogan linked those arrests to Soros, the person, meaning Kavala, who financed terrorists during the Gerzi incidents, is already in prison. And who's behind him? The famous Hungarian Jew, Soros. This is the man who assigns people to divide nations and shatter them. He has so much money and he spends it in this way. Though it denied links to the protest, the Open Society told The Guardian that it would nevertheless seek to close its office in Istanbul and liquidate its Turkish operations as swiftly as possible. The organization added it was unsure whether it will be able to continue its Turkish operations. According to the New York Times, a representative for the Open Society said maintaining the organization's operation in Istanbul had become completely untenable. Well, this is what happens when you got a madcap, narcissistic philanthropist, as he calls himself, George Soros. Here's a guy that hates sovereign nations. Hates nations being what? Its own nations with its own culture, its own ability to protect and defend its own people. This is a guy that wants all borders taken down. Here's the guy that wants your new world order and the banking control. It's been so good for him. After all, isn't this going to trickle down to you? Open Society purports to support justice and human rights in more than 100 countries, but in more recent years, it has primarily focused on Soros' liberal agenda of open borders and free trade, and the free trade of which one country really gets screwed by another, folks. It's not fair trade. And all the while resisting the wave of populist sediment that has swept across Europe and the U.S., and yes, folks, people are starting to wake up. And starting is one thing, but we're talking about a tide. You know how the tide works. It moves in, it moves out, it moves in. But every time it seems to move back in, it seems to be a little bit stronger and a little bit deeper. And this is what's been happening. There's been an ebb and flow on this, but all the while on the increase of informed citizenry around the world. Folks, you know, you and I can sit back and say, what if? But more and more people around the world are saying the exact same thing. What if we didn't have this, or what if we didn't do that? And they're starting to go back to yesteryear for comparison of what the New World Orderites. You know, the real dystopian despots, they don't want you thinking about history. They don't want you thinking about why and how things were good and why they worked. Papa's got a brand new bag here. And he's going to be pulling all kinds of magic tricks out of this bag to just keep you spellbound and keep you distracted, while the thievery continues to go on worldwide. And I'm specifically talking about the world banks, the IMF, the Federal Reserve, and the other independent for-profit corporations that people keep misrepresenting or confusing with what a bank is supposed to be and what it used to be in this country. It was a place to clear checks, folks. To debit, you'd write a check and they'd debit it out of your account. Or, and these are the days they had actual savings accounts. Remember when they used to tempt you with toasters and blenders? My God. Now they just want you doing business by their ATM. There are no little gifts anymore. Because guess what? There's not a whole lot of saving going on. What's really going on is people are starting to get the idea that I've got to save my own keister. Because it's exposed, and big time. Now, we've talked a lot about the banks over the years, and I know it's tiresome. Well, here he goes again, talking about the banks. But folks, really consider this and think this one through. We would not have had World War I. We would not have had World War II. If it wasn't the quest of the people attached to the banks, governments included, the various military-industrial complex. No, that's just not here, folks. That also operates in other countries. And people for a good, sustained profit over a period of time. And what better way to do it than to start wars, start the contention? And that's actually how they've kept people in line, by backing the respective government's actions by thinking that this is necessary. Necessary? There should have been not one shot, not one bomb dropped, not one cannon fired, and not one person dead in the Middle East. Not one. There was no reason for us to be there. And there's still, 18 years later, no reason to remain there. Except some people in the government and the Pentagon are thinking of a way of America's survival to keep this scam going. Remember what Smedley Butler talked about the corporations. He was absolutely right. This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $400? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. By Christine, great for heart palpitations. By Anne, before I started using this product, every afternoon, my ankles and my hands would be swollen. That doesn't happen anymore. So if that part of their advertising is true, I have to assume that the rest of it is also. Not to mention that when I had my yearly blood test, only a few weeks after beginning to use this product, my cholesterol had dropped over 30 points. I'm going to continue to take it. By Croc, I love this product. It really works. By Brad, works great, thank you. Tell us your story. Get your Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health, and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Well, Vladimir Putin is voicing serious concern over martial law in Ukraine. Russian President Vladimir Putin has voiced serious concern over Ukraine's recent move to impose martial law in the country following the seizure of three intruding Ukrainian military vessels in Russian waters. This is what the mainstream media is not telling you. Oh my goodness, look at Putin, he's attacking Ukraine. Yeah, they were inside Russian waters. And I would dare say that if somebody was crab fishing in the Bering Strait straight into Russian waters, they'd be pretty much treated, well, maybe not shot at, because you don't look like a warship, but I can guarantee you would be boarded. Putin conveyed his concern in a phone call to German Chancellor Angela Merkel. The Kremlin announced in a Tuesday statement, Putin expressed a serious concern over Kiev's decision to put its armed forces on alert and to introduce martial law. The statement went, which said that the Russian president also urged Merkel to restrain Ukrainian authorities from engaging in further provocation and military measures. Here's, folks, Ukraine. They're beating the war drums. Now, this is an absolute fact. If the Ukraine waged war on Russia, kiss Ukraine goodbye. Now, would that be not necessarily a good PR move on Vladimir Putin's part? Well, yeah, because it would be spun that this evil Putin just had to destroy the Ukraine because the Russians wanted it back. Really. In actuality, what this is a baiting process. Because, you know, we just don't leave any country unattended, and we're there to protect everybody. And, yeah. So, who's got your back, Ukraine? Do you think it's the United States military? Do you think, for a moment, that Donald Trump is going to back the Ukraine attacking Russia? I don't think so. And by the way, he doesn't have to announce it. I think Donald Trump should one night slide out of the White House, go in the underground tunnel, hop in a limo someplace, or even a cab. Don't go with an entourage of 10 vehicles with flashing red and blue lights. Slide on out of there, get on board Air Force One, fly over to Moscow, sit down with Vladimir without the interference that you're seeing in this country from the press that seems to want us to go to war. And by the way, folks, simultaneously, two theaters of war, one against China and one against Russia. How do you think that'll work out for us? These people do not want peace. They do not want sanity. They want continual chaos, uncertainty, death, debt, and everything that you would not want for yourself or would you wish upon anybody else. This is the strategic chessboard game that they continue to play. But it's playing out. People are looking at this going, no, we're not going to do that. And ultimately, folks, and here's what you may want to hear, or you may not want to hear it, that ultimately it's going to be your choice and your decision as to how this country proceeds in the future. Yes, I said you. While you're sitting there trying to convince yourself you're powerless, let me tell you something. You are not. Stand up, stretch that spine, straighten that back, walk with a purpose. And for God's sakes, for once in your life, stand for something. We're too busy standing against things rather than standing for the things that once made this country a beautiful place in which to live. That you could travel from city to city without fear of your own person or your family. You could walk just about any city street at night without getting mugged or killed. That's the kind of country I want back, folks. A peaceful nation with peaceful people. This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $400? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.